Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And no beer buddies glasses this time.
No, man, but looks like proper glassware, though, man. I think you got an Alarmist glass over there.
Yeah, you're rocking the Afro beer glass.
Lovely glass.
But it's the same style glass. Proper glassware, because we got some Alarmist beer.
Yeah, man. Stemless wine glass, I think they were calling these, right? Mm-hmm. Business hops is what's going on here, man. This is a weird title. It's a 2-minute hazy IPA with New Zealand Rakau hops, 7%.
And you're supposed to drink it in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So we need a lot more cans.
They're trying to put you on your ass if you drink this in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I guess they want you to be overwhelmed with this shit.
I'm gonna shotgun a hazy beer.
A tall boy at that. Yeah. Shit is a little too real for me, Brad. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, but the New Zealand hops, man, you know, I think Mosaic was the first big one, right?
Yeah.
But then Rakau, I know nothing about. They say it's a dual hop, so both bittering and used for, like, flavoring hops, too.
Okay.
So you're supposed to get stone fruit, like peach, plum, apricot, that sort of jazz.
And this, yeah, I was over at Alarmist picking up beer for Super Bowl. I got some pantsless because that's a Super Bowl kind of beer.
True.
And then I picked up some Crispy Boy for myself because that beer is great. And then I saw this. I was like, this, it's brand new. This is a podcast beer.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's it doesn't have the juiciness of the juice, right?
Right.
It's got more of a straightforward kind of bitter fruit vibe.
Yeah, not too bitter like just regular IPA. A little juicy. It's good, but it's not the juice.
Yeah, it's not bitter like, you know, like Hop Slam or something, right? Or Two Hearted.
Right.
It's not bitter like that. But it's still juicy, but it's bitter. It's juicy. I'm sorry. It's bitter for a juicy.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't want two the juices back to back. So if you go maybe something like this, it maybe transitions. You'd be like, all right, I tried another one. I'm ready for a Crispy Boy or a... What's their other one? The Midwest Royal, corn lager. But yeah, we're gonna sip on these and yeah, talk about our week. Alarmist was it was hopping for it was Super Bowl Sunday. I went in there; they had food going on.
Oh, right on.
And I just ran in and got beer.
So they must have guests come, right? They don't have a kitchen, so it's like a catering thing or a truck or something.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they were busy, and just one of the guys was working the bar, and he was like, kind of overwhelmed, I think.
I wasn't expecting too much traction on Super Bowl Sunday, huh?
I guess not, yeah. So, yeah, that was just that was one of my stops this week. But you left state lines.
Yeah, I did, man. Indiana, man, Northwest Indiana, which, you know, in a lot of ways is suburban Chicago.
Okay.
Right? So I ended up in Dyer, which is one of these kind of towns just over the border. Yeah, went out there. The plan was to hit three breweries, Brad. I only ended up hitting one.
Okay. So. And you rattled off three I never heard of. When someone's like, I'm going to hit up three breweries right across the border, I'm like, oh, you're going to 18th Street and three Floyds. And,
right, right.
All right.
Yeah, and you always look on the map, you look at the cluster if you're leaving the city, like, well, what can I do? You know, bunch them up and let's do them. So I think it was Wild Rose and New Oberfalls, which are near each other. I would say less than a mile apart.
Okay.
Right. And then there's the one I went to, which is Windmill. So that's in Dyer. So that's about 7 miles away.
Okay.
Yeah.
How close are those to Three Floyds?
Well, the Dyer one is actually like a 4-minute ride from Three Floyds.
Okay.
So I've been to it once a long time ago. I would say it's maybe, it's like less than 3 miles. Okay. It's like super close. So it's like take one road, 3 miles, and boom, you're at another brewery. Yeah. It's so cute, man. It's like, okay, so it kind of, it sits in the shadow of the hospital. Okay. Right? So it's got the hospital parking lot and just like this little frontage road, and it kind of sits right there like a storefront would. You know, it's very cool. Kind of bizarre kind of storefront setup.
Yeah.
Dutch boy. No, Dutch boy.
Like the coffee.
Windmill is named because they're two Dutch guys that started the company.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of an ode to them.
They are Dutch boys.
Yeah. Their Wi-Fi is pale, pale Dutch boy. Yeah, man. You know, when I was standing in line at Moore for the first time a couple years ago, I remember having memes and dreams in line. You know, it had a big-ass windmill on it, had the meme colors on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had never heard of the crew. So, come to find out, they're right down the street from Floyd. So,
crazy. How was the beer now?
I went with that. It was, it's a milkshake IPA with, like, vanilla and mango. And I like it because it kind of toned it back, both the vanilla and the mango.
Right? Okay.
Bro, you make it more about the beer.
That's good.
Right? You know, not this kind of, like, sugar bomb, this fruit bomb with, like, some hops. It wasn't that anymore.
Okay.
Got a little more nuance, which I liked. I think Shalanda went with the stout, with the barrel-aged stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're getting that. So, call in.
Yeah, we got to turn that off, man. We're in the middle of a pod, man. Yeah. So, yeah. They got a cat that runs a joint. Luther the cat.
Is he all the Dutch?
Luther the Dutch cat. Captain Von Dutch Luther. This dude's got 2 beers on draft. Well, one's a seltzer.
The cat does?
Yeah. There's signs on every table saying don't eat Luther. Don't
eat Luther. Do not eat the cat, no matter how many beers and how hungry you get. Don't eat the cat.
He's on a special diet, so don't feed him, you know, because people want to feed him, you know.
What do they have food there?
No. So people bring
What in, do you do?
People bring in food and then feed the cat. And they're like, listen, we know the cat's asking for food, just don't feed the cat. That's, and it's like a, you know, like a pop-up tent with like a message. So you flip it over, it's a menu. And on the other side, there's this message that takes up the whole side, talking about don't feed Luther.
What a crazy thing. You would like literally have to bring food there to feed this cat.
Yeah.
You have to go and be like, oh, there's a cat. It said don't feed it. But next time I go, I'm bringing
cat food. Yeah. I'm bringing the whiskers in a can.
Whatever. I'm bringing something for this cat.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got a pills on and he's got a seltzer. And he eats his food and drinks his milk right on the tape, right on the bar. It's funny as hell. Yeah.
Nice. That reminds me of Nilda's in, is it Nilda's? In, like Wicker Park, Ukrainian Village, where the Chihuahuas
just run
across the bar.
Yeah. The last time I went to Hailstorm a few years ago, I think I just blew off work and went out there. They had a couple cats running around like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Brewery cats are a thing. Yeah.
Right. Haymarket, or not Haymarket, Off Color.
Yeah. Pipeworks. I've been to Pipeworks. They got cats.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I wonder if they have the same cat because they're like next door, right?
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. You forget that the original Off Color shares a alley with Pipeworks.
Right.
Yeah. So I think the story went Off Color was doing some work and accidentally punched a hole in the wall, then tore down the wall and found out it's a decommissioned alley.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the alley is fucking Pipeworks.
Right. So it's an alley that's got like sort of a hangout area.
Like a courtyard kind of, yeah.
Private courtyard basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, but yeah, that was my only stop. Oh, the guys at Windmill, they're brewing on, what's the name of this crew? One Trick Pony. They're brewing on One Trick Pony's old system.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then their family owns a farmer's market in Dyer. So whenever they do fruit beers, they do a lot of kettle sours and they do a lot of fruit forward beers. So they just, in the summer, they go to their family fruit stand and get all the fruit for those.
Nice. So, okay.
Yeah. It's cool. Super small spot, like 4,000 square feet, right? Not just a very kind of chill, no frills kind of, hey, not Three Floyds kind of spot, you know? Yeah.
Nice.
So it was cool.
Well, I almost made it to Indiana. Like, I almost did.
Mm-hmm. Did you almost?
I almost made it. I was so I was like real close.
You weren't close,
right?
Brad. You were not close. What are you talking about?
I was in like Beverly.
Beverly's like 95th Street, Brad.
Oh man, it was like I felt like I could just hop across the street and be in Indiana.
That is untruth, is what that is, Brad. it was just a feeling.
It felt like I was driving a long time to get there.
Yeah.
But I made it to two spots on the south side, and I said I was only going to go to one. If you watched the live stream on Instagram, Nick was like, you have to go to Open Outcrow and Off or Horse Three Follow. And I was like, I'm only going to one. That's not how I'm doing it.
It was such a weird stance. I'm like, dude, they're like two blocks apart.
Yeah, well, you're going to three spots, and they're like a mile apart, and you didn't do it either.
I chickened out after one, man.
But I did both. I did.
There you go. You did the two step. Did the Beverly two step. Look at you.
Yeah. Open Outcry and Horse Thief Hollow.
You know what's funny, man? Like, we talk about, you joke that it's far as hell. But, like, okay, so Chicago, though, man, it's like really hard to get to. If you're on one side of town, you just kind of stay there because it's kind of annoying getting to the other side of town.
Right. So we were going out there because we needed to go to the, we wanted to go to the Irish import store.
Yeah.
There, we were like looking for a couple things. So first, that was like our main purpose. So first we went to Open Outcry. Rather than walking like down the street or going down the street to Horse Thief Hollow, we then drove to to the Irish import store and then drove back, which if we would have went to the other brewery, we would have like not gone to the place we drove out there to go to.
Gotcha.
So I think it was the right call, but we then were very short on time at Horse Thief Hollow because then we had dinner plans in River North.
See.
So it was, we went south side to River North. We were all over the city that day.
That's like a day trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Open Outcry, I feel like the last time I went was when I went to Rainbow Cone, which I talked about on the podcast that I don't even know what episode or when that was, and had a couple of years there. But yeah, being back there, it was just like I remember, even though there's no Will Turner now.
Just like I remember, man.
I feel like I went shortly after Will Turner started, and he might have had one beer on at that time. And now he's gone, and I went back there. So like, basically, during Will Turner's run, I never went to Open Outcry.
It's weird. He was at, I don't know how long he was at Rev, but he was at Goose Island Pub longer than any other brewer.
Right.
Then he went to Rev, and it seemed like forever. Then he goes to Open Outcry.
For like a hot minute.
Then he's gone in like a year, it seems like.
I don't recall what I had. I think I mentioned it on Instagram, but yeah, it was good. We got food there. But Open Outcry, the food is good, but it is basically drunk food. Like they have a pizza with French fries on it.
Really? They still got that, it's like a truck. It's like they embedded a food truck in the wall, and it's a kitchen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you can order everything from the app. Like, they do this similar thing Twisted Hippo does, where you can just select your table and be like, add this, and someone just brings it to you. So you never have to, like, interact with someone, but you can. Like, they're like, oh, you can order from the app, or
just
you can tell me what you want, and I'll go get it. But I don't think you're allowed to order from the food truck stand anymore.
Okay. You sit at the bar, you grab a table, what do you do?
We grabbed a table, not the swings. We did not sit in the
swings. They got swings there too?
They got swings.
Is it like fucking Ravinia with the table and the swings?
No, they're like your individual swings.
Okay.
So your whole table could just be a table of swingers.
With tables or no tables?
With tables.
Okay. It's got to be one or the other, right? It's got to be replace your couch. The swings become the couch, and there's no table. That's how it's got to be.
I think so, yeah. I don't want to eat and swing.
No.
Yeah.
I can drink a swing.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we had a couple beers there. Maeve went with, the porter or the stout. She's been in a winter stouty mood.
Yeah.
So she did that. Then we did our little Southside Irish store stop, and then we came back to Horseleaf Hollow for a beer. And looking at their menu, I was kind of disappointed we didn't do Horseleaf Hollow first and just eat there.
It didn't feel like the cookie cutter kind of bar food. It kind of felt more like a scratch kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah, it felt like they just had more options. Yeah. Like maybe it was like default kind of bar, like, oh, we got our pretzel and the Reuben and the Cobb salad, but they had more things than here's a pizza.
Reuben sounds nice.
Yeah, they just had more variety than Open Outcry.
Yeah. So what was I gonna say? Horseleaf Hollow, fantastic name. Love that name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got the old saloon kind of vibe. I think it's like an ode to like this. That is where they would take stolen horses. That part of Beverly is where people who stole horses would come and kind of hide the horses in the marshes over here.
Oh, that's yeah. crazy. But in my mind, never have been to Horseleaf Hollow. Yeah. I pictured almost like dive bar-y, dark, just like gritty, like kind of like
some shit out of like
you don't want it. You don't want to eat here. Like they have food, but do not eat this food.
Like what's that? The Robert Rodriguez vampire movie with Selma Hayek and fucking George Clooney and those guys.
Okay,
it's like some shit like that.
I pictured that in my mind, yeah. And then I get there, it's super nice. Like it's so nice,
right? Yeah. Like this wood's been treated with love.
Yeah. Like, and they were like very friendly. I don't know. It was like, I didn't think I was in the right place because it didn't fit what I thought it was going to. It felt more like a rock bottom.
Okay.
In there. Like not that like rock bottom super nice, but it felt like welcoming and bright and had everything you would want from a brewery / bar.
Braz out south, man. Yeah.
But that's cool that Open Outcry and Horseleaf Hollow both have like a unique, different vibe and feel to them. They don't just feel like I am wood table craft beer bar and I am also wood beer craft beer bar.
Yeah, man. There's not a ton of breweries out south, but I would say they have some character, man. You know, Moody Tongue's nothing like the two breweries on the Beverly two-step.
Yeah.
And neither is the guys in the plant. Why do I always forget their name?
Winer.
Yeah. Winer's nothing like those. Mars isn't. They're all completely different vibes, man.
Yeah.
Shit, I actually think we just named all the breweries south of downtown, right?
Like, right. That was
we're probably missing maybe one or two.
I probably should have got like a Chicago Irish sweatshirt when I was at the Southside store, so we may have to go back because I gotta get that. And I'm like, do I just go back to Horseleaf Hollow or what else?
Well, you gotta get the Rainbow Cone. That's not cold. Yeah, man. I don't know. If Rainbow Cone's open, well, I don't know.
I don't want to eat it in my car. By myself. It feels like you gotta stand outside. Like I'm gonna drip it. I don't want.
That's true. Yeah. We're kind of joking, but what else would you hit, right? What else would you hit if you're over there?
Maybe you dip over to Blue Island.
Oh, shit. Yeah, see, and then you got to leave the city. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Once you hit, you do the Beverly two-step.
That's what I'm saying. You're like basically in Indiana.
And you leave the city. If you want to do a third stop, you got to leave it. Ain't that fucked up? You got to leave the city.
But Beverly's sort of, it's not the city.
Beverly is Chicago,
Brad. It is?
Yeah.
I thought it was its own.
The city doesn't stop until you hit like 125th Street, like Blue Island, Calumet Park. That's where the city is.
Oh, I thought Beverly was its own.
Beverly's a neighborhood in Chicago. Blue Island is its own little suburb. Or Blue Island is a suburb.
Oh.
Beverly's a neighborhood in the city.
Oh, see,
damn it, Brad.
I thought the cutoff was like right in that where Beverly is. Isn't like, it's like real close.
That's probably true. Yeah, because if you're at these places, you're at like 103rd, 110th, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to like 115, by the time you get to like 127, the city's over.
Okay. I thought it was like 111 was like the cutoff.
It goes further.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, what I know about the south side of the I don't know.
If there were more breweries, we would understand the limits here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn. Okay.
But, what was I going to say about Horseleaf Hollow? Dave Williams, the original brewmaster there, he was in the Chaos Homebrew Club. you know. And that's like right off Chicago and Western. They got like a little clubhouse over there. Oh, but anyway, I remember one time he won a medal at GABF and World Beer Cup. So he didn't know he won. And, you know, so at Great American Beer Fest, you get drunk at like 10 a.m. Everyone walks in, you get hammered at 10 a.m. So you're getting hammered the whole time. So the awards are over, and I'm there just looking at all my photos. So there's nobody there but me and the lady who hands out the awards. And then in rushes Dave Williams. He's like, oh, shit, they called my name, but I didn't think I was going to win. So I was at my hotel room, and they called me, and I came down. So I'm like, well, you got to let me get to take a picture. So it's this empty fucking stadium with me and the girl pressing out the awards and Dave Williams, and I get this cool photo.
Yeah.
With, like, that empty, cool photo at JBF was actually pretty fun. Damn. So that's it. That's my only Horse Thief Hollow story.
Is World Beer Cup would be this year, right?
Hmm?
Isn't this a World Beer Cup year?
Yeah, because it's every other year. Yeah.
So the GABF, like the Brewers Conference and all that, is super fun. Like,
yeah.
I've gone for press a couple times. It's a blast. Like,
it's the only time I've been to Portland. It was World Beer Cup up there, and then there's nothing quite like GABF week. The festival itself is kind of like the last cool thing, right? It's the least cool thing.
Where is it? We should go. I feel like.
But the whole city.
Everything's open. Let's go. Let's get after it.
Everything is open. Yeah. It's over. We won. COVID's over. Yay.
We've defeated it.
Yay us.
America did it.
Masks. Fuck these masks. I didn't know that there's only 9 states that have an indoor mask mandate, and Illinois is one of them. So yeah. Most of the country's like, fuck it. We won COVID. Right?
That's why. You know, we don't want to get. That's why the people are like, oh, we gotta open this back up. It's like, do you not go anywhere? Like, there is literally, is anything closed? There's nothing closed, and there's not, like you said, 9 states with a mask mandate. What? There's nothing. There's no problem doing anything. So we gotta open back up these liberal states. It's like, I'm fine wearing a mask. I went into a liquor store today. The guy checking me out wasn't wearing a mask. I put mine on. I don't care. It's cold. It's actually nice because it's cold, and if you have to walk down the street, they're warm.
That's true.
So, yeah, the 9 states, it's like there's nothing closed. There's really no rules. So.
Only thing closed is Three Floyds. Everybody else is back open.
But that's Three Floyds doing. That's not
COVID. Right. Right. That's they're just
COVID like, restrictions.
They're like, we're not doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Stuff isn't open as late as it was, but that's.
Yeah, and the menus are still limited, but everyone I think is pretty much even fucking West Lakeview's open.
Yeah.
I went in there and grabbed like I don't know a bottle of Orval, right? Just for the hell of it.
Okay.
You know? And she was like, "Yeah, we're open." I'm like, if West Lakeview Liquors is open, everything should be open.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
We were talking about, she used to host, what's the name of that day? Zwanza Day, which was like, you know, just a big, it's a national thing. They pick certain cities to have Zwanza Day. And Zwanza's, goddamn, why do we always forget the name of this brewery that you've been to in Belgium?
Took the scooters to.
Jean Van Roy.
Why do I blank on this name? It's like the best.
It's my man. He's leaning back. He's black and white. You know what I'm talking about. I know. My man. What's my man's name?
This is like the greatest story, and this brewery is amazing.
Yeah.
And we like can't remember the name.
If I'm going to a Friendsgiving, those are the kind of beers I hunt out. Good beers.
Cantillon.
Thank you. Cantillon. It's been 2 episodes in a row. We forget Cantillon. What kind of fucking party is this?
People have been watching and listening. They're like, fuckers are forgetting candy.
It used to be a her spot. And then it moved to the beer temple.
Okay.
Yeah. But she seemed like she didn't understand why it moved. It was like, we used to have killer parties at this place. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it was at the beer temple because we were looking for a certain beer. And she's like, go check out the beer temple.
Okay.
So it came up. I'm like, that's interesting.
All right. Oh, well, those were our stops. That's what we've been up to this past week. And then events are, like we said, stuff's open. Like, we gotta look at these press passes. We should go to Brewers Conference. Where is that?
I think Minnesota, yeah. Actually. Which, you know.
You love going to Minnesota.
Dude, I'm a big fan of Minnesota. I'll go, is the Prince Museum open? Let's figure out what those hours are. Let's get that out the way. I want to see their football stadium. It looks like a giant Viking ship from the outside.
We're going to get to, we're gonna get to the Super Bowl, but was this performance better than Prince's?
It depends on your preference, you know.
You.
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Well, no. Was it better than Prince? No fucking way it was it better than Prince. I thought it was the best one since Prince. And we grew up on that shit, you know. You see Snoop. Yeah. You can't name a more – you can't name a duo in hip-hop better than Dre and Snoop. Right. When you think of hip-hop duos, that's the top of the food chain right there. It's fucking Snoop Dogg and Doc motherfucking Dre. Are you kidding me?
Right.
It was great. Yeah. I loved every minute of it. It wasn't better than Prince, though.
Okay. I've seen people be like, oh, Prince is still the greatest. It's like, but that's like if the Beatles performed the Super Bowl, you're like, nah, it wasn't as good as the Beatles. It's like, yeah, it's the Beatles. Or, yeah, it's Prince. There's a tier, and you can't beat them.
Yeah.
But that was like A+.
I thought it was fantastic. and, you know, I'm not even a super Mary J. Blige fan, but I just love how, you know, her music. She's like the hip, you know, the hip-hop thing with the hip-hop R&B, queen of hip-hop R&B.
Okay.
And I just love how, like, that music, even though it's not hip-hop, she's singing it. It's like hip-hop in R&B form. But for her to hold her own on a stage with those guys, I thought kind of brought the whole performance together.
You know? Yeah, like, I don't know her as, like, you know the songs when someone's like, oh, that's Mary J. Blige song. I'm like, oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
But I couldn't. If someone's like, name a Mary J. Blige song, I couldn't do it.
Well, she's always singing about some guy that left her. It's like her music is like the soundtrack for girls when they're mad at the guy they're dating.
Right. She's not.
It doesn't resonate with
most. And she's not Beyonce.
Right.
So, I'm like, okay.
Like, my knowledge of this shit kind of stops at Beyonce. And Toni Braxton, I remember her, but other than that, it's a very short list. But yeah, I thought, because she's the only R&B act that really rocked out over like a Dr. Dre track.
Yeah.
So I thought it was dope to have her with those guys. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. And that was, where are we going with this?
I think we're talking about the commercials for beer.
Oh, commercials for beer?
Yeah, during the Super Bowl.
Because we were talking in the pre-show, I had a Bud Light Seltzer for the first time.
Yeah.
I was down in River North, went to Redheaded Piano Bar.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
And I had a black cherry Bud Light Seltzer.
Fucking tall boy?
Well, aren't they skinny?
Oh, yeah. Skinny. It's a skinny tall boy, right?
What's black cherry? Like, what?
I think it's a type of cherry, right? I feel like it's a thing. I don't think it's just a flavor. I think, right? Because there's cherries.
Right.
There's Bing cherries.
But I've only had black cherry in drinks.
That's true. Every time I see cherries, they look like cherry, right?
Yeah.
The only time I see the maraschino cherries are
like in the juice, but they have a different taste.
The juice makes them red, right?
I think so, yeah. But black cherry has like, we kind of know what black cherry tastes like. That's what it tasted like. And then it tasted like nothing else. Huh. It was weird, and I can see why people like it, because it's like almost having a Jolly Rancher. We're like, all right, now that's over. What now?
Yeah.
So, and that's what it felt like. I take a sip, and it's like, ooh, black cherry. Oh, that's gone. Do I want more black cherry? Okay. And you take another drink.
Now we had a seltzer run at FOBAB, and I think it was with the
Lulz.
The P3 Lulz stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it stack up to that experience?
It's more in the White Claw, like no flavor means to an end.
Okay.
Sort of feeling like the Lulz felt more like a cider that was like flavorful that I like to drink.
It's like some gourmet. It's like a gourmet seltzer.
Right.
Where does do you get Truly's? I've had a few Truly's that I enjoyed more than the White Claws.
I don't know if I've had Truly's.
So you're going, if you're going power rankings, you're going Lulz on one end, and then you're going White Claw. Then after that, you're going Bud Light Seltzer. Is that how you're ranking?
I would rather have a White Claw over a Bud Light, because White Claw had a little. White Claw has like the fizziness that, like, I don't know, it tickles your mouth.
Yeah, White Claw is clutch for a hangover. At the last wedding I went to, the Sunday morning hangover was White Claw. White Claw was a savior.
And White Claw feels more refreshing than the Bud Light. Felt like I was had this flavor, and that was it.
Okay.
But then I don't know, talking about Super Bowl commercials, Bud Light Next, which is probably just beer seltzer.
I'm so confused by Bud Light Next. I remember the Bud Light Seltzer commercial was with Flavortown. So it was my man Guy Fieri, and he was the mayor of Flavortown.
Next man.
I remember this dude. It had to be like a souffle or something. It was some kind of dessert. And he took a bite. He was like, oh, that's gangster. This fucking dessert in the middle of Wisconsin. I'm like, this dude, man.
But Next, I don't understand it. They said they took 16 years of research to brew a beer or make a zero.
For Next,
to make a zero calorie beer. But it's probably just seltzer with hops. Like, I recently opened, and I have some downstairs, Lagunitas hop seltzer. It's a non-alcoholic.
It's like hop water or some shit.
It's like a hop water. And it's better than the hop teas, which are like kind of herbal-y.
From Lagunitas?
No, from like another company.
Okay.
But it was a non-alcoholic hoppy seltzer?
That sounds good. So it's like seltzer water with hops. It's like fuzzy hop water.
Right. So that was good.
I see it all the time. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I grabbed some because it was like $4 for a 4-pack. I was like, well, I'll try this. And I kind of liked it because you have a feeling of having a beer, but it's also kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
But Bud Light Next, it has alcohol in. I don't understand what it is and why you would pick that over a seltzer. And so it's basically New Kid Bud Light. So if you're going to have Budweiser, sure. And then do you pick a Bud Light or a Bud Light Next? Well, if they taste about the same, I'm going to pick a Bud Light Next because zero calories and whatever.
The only part I understand, I don't understand much about Bud Light Next, but I do understand that Bud Light is the top-selling beer in the country. Right.
Okay.
So if you're AB, the biggest brewery in the country, then you're just gonna expand that line as much and expand it to death. Right?
But why would you make something that would basically cut into that?
But because brand recognition still, right? Like people are familiar with the name Bud Light, and that's the number one brand. So they're kind of saying even if you don't drink a Bud Light and you drink this thing, that's still good for the actual Bud, just a regular Bud Light. I mean, I think that's... I have no idea. Because it makes no sense, because I've seen Bud Light in commercials with Michelob Light. And the guy's at the counter, and he's deciding which one to get, and the guy selling it to him is telling him to get the Michelob versus the Bud. And I'm just like, that's the same crew. Like, why is this even an option? It's so weird. I don't understand. But I don't understand marketing on that level.
Right, because at the Super Bowl, everyone's drinking Michelob. And I made a comment when we were watching the game. I was like, this is the only time anyone drinks Michelob. Like, nobody... No one drinks Michelob. I've probably had it once in my entire life.
Yeah.
And that's basically because there's no options.
I'd love to have an honest conversation with them, man. You know, when I went to the hop farm in Elk Mountain. So this is like, I don't know, I forget where. Deep Northwest, right? Anyway, it was a Budweiser farm that they brought back to life because they started planting a bunch of hops there. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's showing us around the place, he's like Brett Porter, when he first came out, took all the Cascade. He loved the Cascade from 2009. So he took all the 2009 Cascades and to go make some trial beers with him. And he's like, he took so much of this fucking Cascade that we didn't have enough to make Bud Light.
Crazy.
And then the guy next to me from Boston is like, wait, there's Cascade hops in Bud Light, you know? So it's so much about the whole fucking ecosystem at Bud that I don't understand. Right. I'd love to just have an honest talk with them about just this one piece, right? Just this Bud Light marketing piece and why there's so many fucking Bud Light options.
Yeah, not to say it's crap or anything. I was like, what is going on here? And like what? It was like maybe four or five years ago. We kind of all thought there'd be a Goose Island ad in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
like it was, it felt like it was real close, and then they like dissed craft beer in that one ad with like the big type. Like the, not your no frills or no, yeah. not a pumpkin ale and all that stuff. I was like, oh shit, okay, craft beer is not going to get marketed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what is it like? It's, well, it's like the distributors, like the beer distributors that, you know, they buy your brand not to promote it, but to, Bader Brau told me a story like this. It's not to promote, not because they want to help your brand, it's because they don't want that style of beer to interfere with the beer they're selling already.
Right.
Right? It's, it might be, maybe it's one of those kind of things. I don't know. But it's interesting.
So
but
there there was a Budweiser ad, there was a Bud Light Next ad, and there was a Bud Light Seltzer ad. Those were the only Budweiser ads in the whole Super Bowl. So there wasn't a regular Bud Light ad, if it's top-selling beer. There might have been a Michelob. I think they just drink Michelob in the stadium.
I saw a Sam Adams one, too. There well, I know that's not the same crew, but just beer in general. I saw a Sam Adams ad. I would end up watching. You know, on YouTube, you pull up all the this year's Super Bowl ads, and they don't show you all of them. They show you all the ones that got previewed, though.
Yeah.
So I watched a lot of those, but I didn't get to watch them, a lot of them during the game. Kind of tuned in to halftime, and I was kind of out after that. I watched the end. I like the, you know, I like, who doesn't like to see the trophy trotted out?
Sure.
So I watched that. But so I didn't see every single one.
Okay. Yeah, it was just kind of weird. I felt like the beer ads are sometimes some of the better ones, and they felt like they were very lackluster besides your man Flavortown.
That was pretty funny. Guy Fieri as the mayor of Flavortown. Yeah. You know what's funny? Budweiser or AB, they ran an infograph about the companies that have spent the most money on ads since for in the last 20 years. So since 2000 or so. And you know, the usual suspects are there, you know, Apple and Chevrolet and Pepsi and Coke and then Budweiser is far and away at number one at like 500 mil over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is like 135 mil, you know, which is like, you know, almost triple.
Sure.
So Budweiser at its core, and we said this before, at its core, they're kind of a marketing company. It's the exclusive, if you're not drinking champagne and you win the World Series or you win the Super Bowl and you want to drink a beer, they're the exclusive beer. You can't drink any other beer.
I guess, but I'm going to drink High Life. If I don't want champagne, I'm going to drink the champagne of beers.
I mean, it says it right on the can, Brad. It says champagne of beers.
Yeah.
Lady with the moon, crescent moon. You kidding me? But.
Yeah. It was a interesting beer Super Bowl. I felt like beer was not there.
They teased a Goose ad a few years ago, right? Where there was Todd Ashman and Greg Hall.
Oh, they did?
It was like a tease for a commercial. The commercial was they were going to AB headquarters to pitch an ad. That was a commercial.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, they never, no craft. They got like 10 craft brands. No craft, that's, you know, interesting. But
then again, if there's a run, could they make enough lemonade shanty to keep up with?
I'd love to see, you'd love to see Goose in a position like that. They've been around since 88, you know. Sucks. Lagunitas, largest brewery in town. They're a Heineken brand. I mean, you'd love to see something like some of those brands. Those are two brands that could easily be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I don't. It probably it must not do them any benefit, right? Like what we sell more beer that we have to make. We can barely keep up with the beer that they make. I'm sure they're like often at their top. Stuff. I don't know. I don't live in that world.
Get AB marketing on the phone now. Let's get to the bottom of this.
And give us some Bud Light Next, because I don't want to buy it, but I want to try it. I feel like that's where I'm at with it. That's where I was at with Bud Light Seltzer. I was never going to go to the store and buy it, but I was somewhere where I didn't trust their beers, so I was going to try this. And I had also just ate dinner, so I was kind of full.
This guy.
All right. Anything else? Events?
I think that's it. We talked about Naperville.
We did.
Oh, Naperville Elfest is back.
Cider Summit is back. And Polar Beer Fest happened.
Yeah, Winter Brew.
Winter Brew.
So festivals are back, man. I'm trying to think of, see if we missed anything. I don't think we did, man. Hair of the Dog, out of there. They're closing their tap room. Is that Portland?
Portland, across the street from, like, Deschutes is right. No, is it Deschutes? No, Deschutes is right there. There's another brewery.
Cascade?
Cascade's, like, not far from there on the other side of the...
The one time I went to Portland, Cascade was my jam. That's the only place I went.
Basically, if you're in Portland and you're a brewery, you're, like, right by another brewery.
Yeah.
So I forget what's
the right. Hair of the Dog opened in 1993. It's a good run, you know? Yeah. My man's name is Alan Sprints.
I have a signed Christmas beer from him. Doggy Claws.
Did you open it?
No.
Nice.
He signed a Doggy Claws for me.
Nice. Keep it forever. One of life's biggest regrets, I got a signed Sriracha Ace from Garrett Oliver, and I was in my bachelor pad, and I was at low on fucking beer, and I fucking drank it like an asshole. And it was the worst decision of my life.
Yeah. This is probably like a 2015 Doggy Claws. So first off, it's probably like an inch thick sediment, so I am not drinking that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, it looks like Modern Times, which I think is in L.A.,
Or San Diego.
San Diego?
Yeah.
Modern Times in San Diego is closing 4 of their 8 tap rooms, including Portland.
Yeah, that's a bummer for everyone that works there. We never got Modern Times beer, right?
No. They were at Dark Lord Day 1 year. I didn't realize they had 8 tap rooms.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah, sounds like they're downsizing. Cool Kid Beers. Here might be Monsters at FOBAB. Wasn't that them? Weren't we excited about them this year? When we went upstairs, everyone kept telling us to try this one beer. Was that Modern Times?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Because I might not have drank it because the founder or the owner, he had like some Me Too stuff happen with him. And he was outed like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You might have been thinking of Bottle Logic.
Am I? It's possible. We were upstairs on the concourse. The
Monsters.
And everyone kept saying, yo, you need to try this fucking beer.
I don't think it was Modern Times.
No?
No.
All right. One more bit of news. Cheers to... God, you're driving me nuts with this fucking... maybe it was Cerebral. I think it was Cerebral.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, anyway. Hopleaf, man. Hopleaf 30th anniversary is this week.
30th. Congrats.
Yeah, man. So that is up in beautiful Andersonville. They are, to celebrate, they have a house beer that they're launching. It's a Czech-style black lager and an easy-drinking pale ale. So it sounds like two beers. And they're being made by Art History Brewing out in Geneva.
Hmm.
That's an interesting choice.
Nice. Okay.
They say the brewmaster at Art History Brewing in Geneva is no stranger to the Chicago brewing scene. And he's been brewing for 25 years.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So Hopley's going to have two beers on. One's a pale ale and one's a dark lager. And they're going to be selling them. I've seen packaging, so it looks like they're going to be...
We've had a couple. We've had Art History on the pod. They're pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So.
I don't remember which one. I feel like it was like a pink or a red can design. Maybe blue.
Cheers to Hopleaf, man.
We had the Munich.
Yeah?
From Art History.
Yeah. We did?
Yeah.
I believe you because I can picture the can. Yeah,
it's like an Art Deco kind of design. It's cool.
Art Deco. Right on. So, but yeah, I think those are things we wanted to hit up.
Cool. All right, is that going to do it for this episode? Did we hit everything now?
Fuck, I think we were trying to say under 30. No dice.
No. But we do have this 312 Lemonade Shanty and the Freedom of Lemonade. We're going to do a versus.
I like
it. It's been 3 years since we've done a versus.
Since the studio, man.
We've only done two verses.
Yeah.
And we sort of fell off the wagon.
What was our first versus? Was Tiny Bomb versus Mama's Little Pills. Those were both, right?
That might have been the second we did Miller High Life versus Chug Life.
Yeah, Chug Life holds its own.
So, yeah, we're going to go
lemon. Chug Life's also like fucking quadruple the price.
Right. I think we talked about the price point. That one of the things about for the verses was a macro versus craft. This sort of fits the bill. Goose straddles that line of macro, but really so does Revolution on a little bit, right?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, they're distributed by Miller. This is distributed by, or AB owns this.
Yeah.
So.
The largest independent brewery in Illinois.
Okay. So, but this is hometown versus hometown, too.
That's true. That's going to be a good matchup, actually. Because I got to be honest with you, man. I think fucking 312 Shandy's great, man. Damn.
I haven't had
I think it's great.
Freedom. So we'll see. Look for that on YouTube. There's lots of other reviews on YouTube as well. But that's going to do it. We'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.